This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom and Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Kat. Today's episode, we are talking with Reginald Day. I met Reg at the PSI conference in New Orleans this year, and he is doing phenomenal work. He was one of the recipients of the community of the grant awards that PSI offered this year. And when you hear from him, you will for sure understand why. He's doing such important work. And today we are going to be talking about the value of fathers. He is sharing his own experience as well, how he got into this work, and how passionate he is about the work that he is doing. You'll also hear how needed his work is, and I really hope that for those of you who are listening, who feel inspired and feel like you want to support his work, that you're able. Reginald Day, who goes by Reg, is a certified lactation consultant, creator of Get At Me Dad podcast, fatherhood expert, Southeast Michigan IBCLCs of Color, Nature's Playhouse Fatherhood Support Group, and a community health worker. He has also co-facilitated a community-based birth and breastfeeding support group called Meet Nurse Love, where he is served by mentoring alongside fathers and supporting their birthing and breastfeeding partners. He is a married father of two children who were breastfed, and he's made it his mission to change the narrative of how fatherhood in BIPOC populations is viewed. He has a passion for people, serving as an associate pastor at his local church. He is a fatherhood and family advocate who believes that great communities begin with strong families. I really love that he is working on breaking down some of these old ideas of what fatherhood is, what Black fatherhood is, and what BIPOC fatherhood is, and giving us the truth, the real understanding of how actually involved fathers are, and finding ways to support fathers to be more involved and to find ways that they can be involved that maybe they didn't know about before. I'm really excited to get into this episode. So let's meet Reg. Welcome, Reginald. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I met you at the Postpartum Support International Conference, and you were one of the award recipients for the work that you're doing. And
yes,
so incredible and so inspiring. I wanted the folks who listen to this podcast to be able to hear about what you're doing as well. So yeah, thanks.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was a great conference too, by the way. So I was excited to get to meet you. I was very surprised. In the passing in the hallway, I was like, oh my goodness, like, it's you. So yeah, no, I appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, no problem. I'm really grateful for the work that you're doing. And yeah, so I want to let everyone know what led you to do the work that you are doing. This podcast is supported by Factor. If you want stress-free and ready-to-eat meals for you and your family, then Factor it is.
These meals are fresh and crafted by chefs, and all of that means that in 2 minutes, you can be eating a quality meal that you can really taste because it's never been frozen. You just heat and serve. Yesterday for lunch, I had the honey mustard chicken with green beans and potatoes, and it was so full of flavor, and it was also just the right amount of food to keep me going for the day and feeling good with the amount of protein that I needed. And what's cool is I'm going out of town for a little bit, and it was really easy to put the delivery on pause and set it up for when I return. Head to factormeals.com/momandmind50 and use code momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code momandmind50 at factormeals.com/momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's a great question. It's actually a loaded question too, yes. Because so first of all, I'm a father myself of 2 children. They are 14 and 13 now. So we started this journey a while ago, but I was still fairly young when we got on the journey. And we being my wife and I got married pretty young, had children like right away. And I was very, very much so young presenting. And I'm not sure how, you know, for those that can actually watch this, how would you think I am? But imagine me 15 years ago, I was 150 pounds, right? Very thin and very just young in the face. And so walking into a hospital system saying, hey, I'm married, my wife's going into labor. Unfortunately, people didn't really take me seriously. Not the fact that I made the statement that my wife's going into labor, but they didn't think that I was going to be a father that's actually engaged and involved. And so doctors would ignore me, nurses would ignore me. I had security patting me down literally to get to the labor and delivery floor. And so that was just a very traumatic time for me. When I say traumatic, I mean traumatic. I was going through postpartum depression myself, but didn't even realize it because I had no words, no language, no one actually to walk me through that. Right. And so, you know, we may come back to that, but long story short, I chose years ago to reframe those experiences because I did not want anyone to have to face similar experiences as myself. And if they did face that, not have an outlet. So I chose to be that voice, that outlet for other, specifically fathers, right? To come to and to share with and creating a safe space where they can be vulnerable, but also get resources and tools, right? To know that they're not by themselves.
Whew. Yeah. There's so much in there that is whatever you'd like to share about your journey. I welcome you to do that because that's a tough journey. It sounds like from A to Z was right. Like, oh, this happened and that happened.
Now
and
I'm here.
Now I'm here. But it took a lot for you to go through any of that. And just one of the things I love so much is this drive that you're describing of going through something so intense and so difficult and coming out of that wanting to help other people. There's just something so beautiful about that. But it's not easy.
It's not easy. I mean, and I guess for me, having the opportunity to look back and actually just time to reflect, right? Mm-hmm. And actually like give myself grace for the fact that you made it, you know, and I'm not one to boast. Like I'm really not. I'm not one to actually, I'm actually more critical of myself than anyone around me. But this one thing I've learned over the few years is like, no, you were resilient,
yes.
Right? Like
yes.
For all the things that I know, the decisions I may have regretted, the fact that in this moment, I am where I am with my wife. We're still together. We have two healthy children. Like that's an accomplishment that I have learned to celebrate, right? Because mentally, so I was actually prepared to, I was trying to contemplate ways to take my own life that would look like an accident, right? And it wasn't like I was like putting plans on paper, but my mind would like go to these thoughts because of the fact I felt like I was just not seen and not important. I was devalued by a system that was meant to help me usher a new life into the world. And not only that, there were so many issues that were existing. I was in school, we were young, we were starting out, trying to get a career going, like all these financial and social aspects that I'm the man, I'm trying to hold it together, but everything around, you know, so people facing, I want to look strong and secure, but inwardly I'm frightened and scared. And I have no one that I can literally turn to say, hey, what do I do? Like to cry in the safe space and not be looked at as this whole term of masculine or non-masculine, right? But like being able to share and not feel shame, right? That is, that was difficult for me.
Right.
And
who
so
who do you go to if that's not already... And like, if you don't already have an established person where you know you can do that, who are you going to?
Who you go to? And in the Black community, unfortunately, mental health has been something that was stigmatized for so long. Like, you cuckoo. Like, that's the thought that I've, or the words I would always hear growing up. What's wrong with you? Like, it was to the point where if you did feel like you had to talk to somebody or you wanted to talk to someone, then there was something wrong, right? And something wrong with you. Something wrong with me. Exactly. Oh. Right. Like, we don't have those type of problems. So,
So that period of time, you were saying that postpartum depression time, that was right after the birth of your first. And it was during that time you had those really intense feelings.
It was because, again, I mentioned going to the hospital, and my wife, she was very sick. She had hyperemesis and she had preeclampsia. So we were at the hospital like every other week.
Right.
And I would hear and see, right? Not only like did I feel it, but I would actually see it with my own physical eyes. Nurses looking at her like, give me eye contact if he's abusing you. Like, it was one of those things where like, I'm bringing her here. I'm staying here. I'm concerned. You see the worry on my face because I want to make sure she's okay. And I want to make sure our child's okay. But now you're making me feel like I am an abuser or I'm a villain here when we're both in this together. And so that aspect, right, that had me looking, okay, these individuals, they see me as a Black man. They see me as a threat when all I'm trying to do is care, right? So we go into that phase. And then when I'm actually in appointments, speaking, trying to find out what do I need to do as a father, doctors giving me the cold shoulder, turning their back toward me. And so these narratives, right, I don't care how strong an individual is, they begin to play in the back of your mind. Like, okay, if they don't see me, am I really needed, right? Is this a space that I'm actually supposed to be even in, right? Am I supposed to just be in the background waiting for them to say, okay, baby's born, here you go, discharge, go home? So I have that narrative playing.
Right.
And then I have the other fact that I'm in school, right? We weren't really planning on having a child right away. We were married, but it was one of those things like maybe 5-6 years down the line, I'm almost done, let me finish. And now we have this on top of trying to wrap up this degree, right? And trying to find a career like that's going to sustain now this new family. And so we have these pressures that's existing. So you have all of this taking place and it's like a weight because I have no way to unload, no space, right? I don't want to unload on my wife who's already got a lot going on. To add that stress could cause more. It's almost like a cycle, right? Like if I add that stress there, then it's going to only play more on her health, which is also going to put us back in the same situation. So.
Right.
It's heavy.
It is heavy. It's a lot for any one person to bear. So how did you get through that?
So I always like to say much prayer, and it takes a lot for me to actually break. So that breaking point actually came 4 years into our marriage, right? So now at this time we have two children. Both are, I guess you could say they're both toddlers at this point, early stages of being a toddler. And I had really just blew up. I had really, because I had compressed everything and held everything inside for so long, there was an anger that was just brewing inside of me, right? Like a bitterness and an anger that was, that became the only emotion that I could show. Right. I suppress every other emotion. I suppress happiness. I suppress joy. I suppress love. Mm-hmm. Right. Any other, I suppress sadness. Mm-hmm. My mother passed during that time.
Oh my God.
And so I cried, but I was like, hold it together. Right. Hold it together. Mm-hmm. Got to be strong. She wanted me to actually eulogize her funeral. And so I was like, I cannot break down. And so I'm trying to hold it together. To one point, I just exploded. I exploded and literally almost lost my family. It was at that point I said, okay, is it worth it trying to hold on to what society says is masculine and what, you know, your community says you shouldn't do, which is talk to a therapist? Or do you want to make a change? Do you love your family that much that you're going to see about getting yourself taken care of and all of your total health, which includes your mental health? Mm-hmm. And so I took the opportunity and I actually began seeing a therapist. And that actually was the turn for me to have that outlet, but also know that it was okay to actually unload in a healthy way and find avenues and things. So that actually became a turnaround.
Wow. So, I mean, that is a long time to suffer.
It is.
If I can use that word.
No, it is. It was hard. Sometimes I think back on it like a nightmare, but also a dream.
Yeah. Oof, right. So that is, that's a long hill to climb to get out of that, out of all of the intensity of feeling and overwhelm and pressure and like all of the things that you were describing. But wow, it's great that you made that decision to get that help for yourself. It's a tough one. It is really, really hard.
It is.
It's hard, let alone to go speak to like somebody you don't know.
But I was desperate, and sometimes desperation will cause you to do things that you would not normally do, right? Especially if you are hungry for it to the point where like this change is necessary or I'm going to die. And that's how I felt in that moment, right? Like, if I don't do this, I will die.
Yeah, that I just felt that like deep in the pit of my stomach for you. That's a lot. So I guess like that, coming out of that, I assume it took a little while.
Yeah. So that was 4 years that took me to that point. And I would say it took almost equally that amount of time, maybe 3 years and each year actually progressively, I should say, getting better. Mm-hmm. But it took almost 3 to 4 years for me to actually feel healthy, right? Like to rebuild in the right way. So really tearing down all those situations, right? All those negative aspects and influences, and then begin to reframe them, right? So the key for me was about reframing my circumstances to the point where I use them to help someone else and understand that what I went through, as horrible as it was, right? If I choose to use it to help someone else, it gives that meaning. Right. And by giving it meaning and purpose, now it can no longer fester in bitterness and resentment and anger, right? Mm-hmm. Towards those individuals and systems that hurt me. I'm using this now to change and challenge those systems and to tear down those systems so that we can build something better.
That's so cool. So tearing up over here. I love that you came to that place through such horrible pain. That you did find that purpose. And so now I think a big part of what you were describing before is your process of feeling like you were not valued, you were not seen, you were not even talked to as a father.
Right.
You weren't respected as the father, let alone a Black father coming into that hospital system.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, I mean, you understand the value that you do have, it sounds like, and letting other people know that they have value as well.
Yes. I think it's important, right? Like, again, my experience was to feel and very much so be devalued, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can even happen by family, be honest with you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you don't know what you're doing, you know, are you sure you trust them with that baby? Right. Like all these things, what are you really saying? Because they're going somewhere. They're just not words that are hitting the ceiling and hitting the floor, right? They're actually penetrating our hearts and our minds. And even as men, right? We have emotions. And if we don't deal with those things, if we don't acknowledge what's being said and put them in the right perspective, mm-hmm. it sets up in us a wall that we don't even realize is being built sometimes, right? And I say that because that goes to the necessity of understanding the value that a father has, right? Even support people, right? Like the value can never be underestimated because we make the difference. And what do I mean by that? Well, when my wife was going through and the doctor was speaking to her, but she's in pain, she's not taking in information.
Right. No.
That was my role. My role was to hear everything that was being said. Mm-hmm. And so when, for instance, I'm dealing with a medical system, we're talking to a father and he's being going into a doctor's appointment. Hey, these are some questions you need to ask. Make sure they understand and see you, because when she's not capable of making the decision or actually in a place where she can speak for herself, because maybe she's in recovery or she's in too much pain, that's the time that you have to come in with whatever plan you had in place together mm-hmm. and say, this is what we agreed on and this is what we talked about. Teaching and educating fathers on how to be advocates, because that's what we bring to the table. When she was going through her own issues medically, number one, needing to check her blood pressure in the postpartum period, because that's right. a very dangerous time. Yeah. I was the one that was like, hey, what's going on? You look a little dizzy. You seem like something's not right. Let me go get a blood pressure cuff, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's part of what we bring to the table. And we have to understand that no matter what we see around us, no matter what even negative words or phrases may be mentioned, we are important because we can sustain the life of our significant others as well as our children, right? And so there's so much more to that, but those are some of the key things that really stood out to me and like some of those things that I like to share now with fathers.
Mm-hmm. So like looking back on it now, you can see the value you had, but it was hard yes. to experience in part because it wasn't being reflected back to you in really any way that you have value here.
Correct.
You were stepping up and doing whatever it was that you and your wife had agreed on or whatever mm-hmm. you figured out needed to happen. But it is really hard to maintain that for yourself when you're sort of quote unquote being told all around you that the opposite, essentially.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly it, right? Like, we don't have that being echoed to us, right? We don't have that being affirmed in us, right? So why not be that affirming voice in this day and time where that's not the narrative that's being shared or told, right? Because yeah. it's necessary.
So I want to get into a lot of what you're doing now to mm-hmm. support dads, but this is a very specific question to that. Like, how do you support someone, a father, to go into a system where still they're not, more often than not, I think anyways, not being mm-hmm. given the due respect in many ways, to continue to advocate and say, hey, I'm here. And hey, how do you help somebody to fight against a system that's not listening to them?
It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But one thing we have to first understand is that this is a system that we have presented, right? So whether we choose to do a home birth, whether we choose to do a hospital birth or birth in a birthing center, we have to understand that these are our choices. And so now knowing what these choices are, when we approach these choices, understand how you're being viewed, understand how you're being received, and understand how you are being perceived, right? And so when you step into those situations, already understand and know what they are thinking. And I realize that that's a huge assumption, right? And that's an overgeneralization, but the fact still remains, like my experience was not unique to my situation 15 years ago, mm-hmm. right? It still happens today.
You're hearing a lot of stories like this.
I'm hearing a lot of stories like this, right? Mm-hmm. And the numbers don't lie, right? Mm-hmm. When Black women are three times more than likely to die during that whole birthing process, right? Or have issues during that prenatal and postpartum period, right? Like that says something. Mm-hmm. And with that being the case, it's like, okay, we know what the risks are. Now let's offer you some solutions and guidance mm-hmm. on how to navigate these systems, right? Mm-hmm. Don't feel inferior when you walk into there. Walk in with your head held high. If you're not being acknowledged, say, hey, doc, this is a question I have. Be forthright. Come forward and be direct, right? Mm-hmm. Not in a negative way, but be direct and say, hey, I'm the father. This is who I am. And I have some questions. And then you go down the list, right? If you mm-hmm. confront it early, then if you confront it early, I'll say that a lot of times you can offset some of those other situations from occurring mm-hmm. appointments for future appointments.
Oh, right. Like setting the tone.
Setting the tone for sure. And setting the cadence yeah. for how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. For sure. So in the work that you're doing now in your platform, Get At Me Dad, what are all of can you tell us about that in
For sure.
more detail?
So Get At Me Dad is an organization that I started this year, became a CLC, which is a certified lactation counselor. Not many males are in that field, and especially not many Black males. So with that, the goal is to educate fathers, right? Teach them how to advocate and supporting them so that they can be support systems for their families. And so with that, we have a podcast that we do. We have weekly or bi-weekly fatherhood groups that we host virtually. And so I also do some childbirth education classes with another organization I partner with in Detroit. So it's really getting into the community and letting the community know, hey, there's fathers that are here present, because we want to change the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. We want to change the narrative of how we are viewed, so that we can change the system, so that we're not facing the same issues that I faced 15 years ago. And that's the overall process in which we're going about in our organizational focus, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm curious, because you're describing, that's like rare for male lactation consultants, let alone Black male. And so needed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's hard to be one of few.
It is.
For you, because that presents its own challenges. It's like a new idea for folks who maybe aren't used to that. But I guess I'm also making an assumption that it's like sort of a breath of fresh air in a way to people. Like, whoa, that's what you're doing?
I say that and everyone, like, I get some funny looks like, you're what? Like, what do you do again? But it's eye-opening. I use that as an opportunity, right? Like, never waste a good shot. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let me tell you.
Right. I love that.
But yeah.
That's awesome. So people are receiving it well.
People are receiving me well. Like I can't say that I've had any real negative experiences with it. Like, I mean, people are surprised and then they want to know more. They want to know why. When I can actually dig in, right, and share the reasons why I do what I do and we are who we are. So I think it's important, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So in going back a little bit to what you were saying before, like in the value of fathers, is there anything else you would like to add or say more about in terms of the value of fathers?
For sure. So the other piece that I think is vitally important is recognizing, as fathers, not only do we have the ability to see those physical signs, but those emotional, mental signs that sometimes aren't caught early enough. Mm-hmm. And by that, like, mental health for our spouses or significant others, right? That postpartum depression and anxiety is real. And for me, again, not having anyone to talk to, trying to fight through my own things, I didn't even recognize it in my wife, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she was struggling, but I didn't know, I didn't see it, I didn't understand it, I didn't recognize it. And so we would have contention, right? That's, again, those 4 years building up. And so she was depressed and she was anxious because she had this new baby. And I'm thinking to myself, well, all you're doing is watching the child. I'm the one wanting to work and going to school and doing all these things, right? And so, like, understanding we can see and head off signs of depression and anxiety if we know the symptoms, right? Mm-hmm. If we hear things that don't sound right, like, this baby is crying all the time, I just want to stick them in a drawer, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's an issue, right? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. we need to deal with that. We need to find out why, right? Like, yes. And I'm not saying the person is the issue, like,
yes.
that feeling, like, why is she feeling that way? Like, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do. And unfortunately, I missed it because I didn't know. And so now I'm talking to fathers about that. Like, hey, don't negate to recognize the signs in yourself, but also, hey, here's some tips for you to recognize the signs in the mother of your child, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, our value is so important because we can guard and we can protect from all these other things, right? Mm-hmm. That go far beyond the protection of that physical sense that we think of as a man. If somebody comes to try to hurt you, I'm going to step up. But protection goes far beyond that. And we like to talk about that with fathers, like, think beyond that, because protection is bigger than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really does help to have, like, sort of all eyes open, so to speak, to catch anything. Because ultimately, it's being able to help mom is also good for for dad and
yes.
or whoever's in the family system, whoever's helping out, like if everybody can be supportive and get whoever needs help to help,
mm-hmm.
which includes fathers too. So that's amazing. How you had an interesting thing that you said earlier, which I think is a lot, something that a lot of fathers, new fathers anyway, might experience, is that it's hard to understand why who's just like quote unquote at home just watching a baby mm-hmm. would be having a hard time. Mm-hmm. And it's also like hard to see when you're having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But yeah, I mean, that there's more, again, more to the story. It's not mm-hmm. just, it's a massive life change that both you and your partner are going through.
Right.
It's a
huge adjustment. I mean, I was just sharing a little while ago in a last group that I facilitated that when you think about the fact that you yourself as an individual spent at least a minimum, let's just say a minimum of 10 years getting to know you and getting your own flow and doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. Then you incorporate another person who has their own flow and does their own thing, who's used to doing things their own way. Mm-hmm. And you may have some time together when you flow like that, or you may not. But now you have a baby who doesn't work and care about anybody else's clock. Like, they're like, hey, I'm here. I'm hungry. I need to be changed. I need to be fed. I want somebody to play with me. I don't care if you're tired, right? Like, that's like that in itself, that throws all conventional wisdom out the window. What do you do? Right. Right? Yes. And so we don't, like, I'll speak for myself, right? I didn't see that. I'm like, I don't understand what the problem is. Mm-hmm. But when we actually can now step back and look at it from that perspective, it's like, oh, I see how you might have a little issue here, right? Or a big issue here.
Right.
And so again, sharing that with, it's a matter of perspective, right? Mm. Like, I can now use my own experiences to say, hey, here's some perspective. Right now, take it and do what you want with it. But just keep in mind that this may be something that could be occurring. Mm-hmm. And now you can kind of make some better decisions or different choices to help improve on your situation or actually make better decisions so that you can continue to be successful at the way you communicate.
Definitely. So how often are you doing groups?
So right now I'm doing groups twice a month. We do them every other Tuesday, maybe increasing because I partner with another organization as well. And I facilitate a fatherhood share session with them twice a month, give or take, depends upon the flow of things. Mm-hmm. And so there's more, right? And so I'm actually looking to grow my team as well, mm-hmm. because I don't think it's about me. I have the passion and drive for it for sure. Mm-hmm. But my goal and my hope is that we can really bring in other voices, right? Other yeah. fathers' voices. And as a Black father who understands some of the ramifications of us not being involved or really coming forward, I want to get more Black fathers involved because our voice matters, right? We can mm-hmm. bring and we can speak to this situation where it will be a shocker to people because they're like not used to it, right? But when mm-hmm. we come and we show our passion, our interest, and our drive, it can help save our community, but it can also bring so many people out of darkness, right? Like, I think about it just as a dark time when you're going through and you feel alone and you feel like you're the only one going through this, right? It's traumatic. Right. I remember being in my bed and like feeling like a dark cloud over me. Like, that's like, it was so vivid, you know? And when I think about it, like you said earlier, like, it even gives me chills because I can't believe I was in that place, but now I'm not, right?
Right.
Like, it's that serious. It's just that serious to me.
Yeah. Right. When it touches you and touches your life in that way, there's no way that you can't know that that's a reality
mm-hmm.
for yourself or for other people.
For anybody else. Exactly.
Right. And it doesn't seem, it might not even seem possible until you go through something like that yourself. And it's really hard to know how bad it feels unless you have
unless
known
you've
how
gone
bad it
through
feels.
It. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think still, like, the information and education goes a long way, even if somebody doesn't experience it themselves, hearing the story, hearing how it felt to somebody else and understanding the consequences or ramifications. That stays with you too. Mm-hmm. So later, if you start feeling that way or you notice your partner's feeling that way, you might be able to pick up on it even more so.
Right. And that's why I like to show up. Like, and when I say show up, I like to show up for as who I am. I like to be open and transparent. So I'm not just person like I can put on a suit and tie and say, hey, everything's well, you're going to be fine. But I like to show up as me and let individuals experience me for the realness. Right. Because a real person went through this.
Yes.
And because a real person went through this, understand that you're not alone and that if something comes up, you can have tools to successfully navigate through that period of time. And I think it's important that more of us just show up that way. I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, right? Because it's vitally important to just show up and be a listening ear. More so than a voice of reason sometimes. Sometimes people just need a listening ear. And I spend a lot of time just listening to dads, right? Just listening to them and letting them share and get off their chest, whatever's going on, because at the end of the day, they want to be the best they can be. Right. And so we get off of our sessions and our fatherhood group, and then they go back, they feel rejuvenated. They're like, man, thank you. I have fathers literally reminding me about the group sometime because that's just how meaningful it and impactful has been for them.
Right, for sure.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck. And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it? We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Get out of there, life gunk. Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks. Unsticking
It. Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
So what I know to be true from some statistics that a previous guest, Dr. Sheehan Fisher, who's a Black psychologist and works in the field, was sharing that the statistics bear out that Black fathers are amongst the most involved.
Exactly.
But the stereotype is not that. And that's a massive, massive problem.
Mm-hmm.
Massively huge problem.
I 100% agree.
Right. I mean, we could have a whole separate episode just on this.
We could.
Right. So when the sort of stereotype and the reality they're not the same. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
I guess how, for you and the work that you're doing, is there a way that, like, how do you deal with that? The stereotype versus the truth.
So I promote the truth, right?
Yeah.
Promote the truth, and the lie will show up for what it is. The dads that I speak with and the dads in a group setting or individual setting, they are cooking, they're cleaning, they're picking up their children, dropping them off, making sure they get to where they need to go, right? They are involved. And for those, and I say that because we look at the few that are what we call, I hate using this term, but the bad apples, right? But I believe they're just they're uncultivated. And so we just need to take the time to educate them, which is why I like to speak to those dads, right? Like, no, you want to throw the dad away and say that he's a deadbeat dad, but why? Are you digging deeper to understand what's going on? Right. And so we promote the truth, and then we work to educate and work with those dads who we just need to figure out what is preventing them from being involved on the level they want to. I myself almost walked away because I felt like I wasn't valued, mm-hmm. right? I came close to walking away and throwing up my hands because I said, what's the point if I'm not being seen? Well, was I a deadbeat dad for I'm there at the appointments, I'm trying right. to do my best, I'm working? No, I'm not a deadbeat dad. I'm just a dad who now needs some other education mm-hmm. or some affirmations mm-hmm. so that I can stay in the game and do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And so I promote the truth as much as possible and then educate and work with those dads to find out what other issues are underlying, right? Looking at the iceberg, what's deep? What's going underneath that, right?
Yeah.
And dealing with those things, because ultimately, I know it. I will, again, generalize, but I will say this. Most fathers want to be involved.
Right, right, right. And we haven't yet until maybe recently, I don't know how recently, been giving fathers more of an opportunity to
exactly.
be involved. They're like, I think like when my brother was born, my dad was in the waiting room. And then when I was born, he was in the birthing room. Like mm-hmm. there was a shift in between those two times or before mm-hmm. it wasn't happening and now it is. And that has like slowly been happening, not fast enough, that society is realizing the importance of fathers mm-hmm. and involving them rather, recognizing their importance.
Exactly.
Right.
Most definitely.
So in the work that you're doing, and this is something I've pondered a lot for just perinatal mental health, even mm-hmm. in general, is like, how do you get to the person who doesn't know that this is a thing? Like, how do you help them come to the group? The person who's like, that's not me. Like, I'm fine. We're good. And not in any sort of conceited or mm-hmm. way like that, but just like doesn't know yet that it can happen. How do you get to them so that they can know to come to your group or to get the information before they have to go through the suffering?
So that's kind of like some tools of the trade too, right? So one of the things I like to do is talking to moms, talking to women, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they have a way to get into our ear and show us things, reveal things that we don't know. But the other aspect is just a brother-to-brother relationship, mm-hmm. right? When you have a brother, you trust your brother. You're going to listen to your brother. You're going to, mm-hmm. they're going to be transparent and open with you. And as you're talking, it's like, oh, wow, like that's normal, or that's something mm-hmm. that could exist, right? Yeah. It's normalizing these things because, again, for so long, especially in the Black community, they have been abnormal. They have been viewed, right, negatively. And so when you normalize, hey, you may feel like this, or this is something I went through. I know a couple of my brothers, a couple of my friends, like we all do this. We talked about this. Hey, this is how we, and then it's like, wow, like, oh, okay. So when we have those relationships and those opportunities, whether we're working out together at the gym, whether we're playing basketball, whether we're at a barbecue, whether we're watching a game, doesn't matter. We're having conversation all the time, interject things into those spaces. Because those are safe spaces, those are spaces right. when we're together and we can talk, we can be ourselves. And, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. I mean, I think you were talking about this when we first started out here, is that there's you bringing your truth and your mm-hmm. vulnerability to the table is allowing other people to do the
exactly.
same. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful. And it's just so needed. I mean, like, we're just human, right?
We're human, like, right, right.
We're trying
right.
to get through this thing and it's hard and. It's hard enough to, you know, why do we have to do it alone?
Yeah. I mean, we live in a society where everyone, we see social media, everything's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing, was successful when they started out in life. Yeah. When I like to counteract that whole thing. I'm kind of like, I like to go against the grain in a lot of ways. Like, no, I'm going to tell my story. This is the real deal. You want to see something positive? Go ahead. You can get on social media channels. But if you want to know how to actually be a successful overcomer, then yeah, let's talk.
I love that. Successful overcomer. I got to write that down. That's really good. I love that. I thank you for coming and sharing what you're doing and all of the work that you're doing. How can you sort of leave us with how you, or I guess your vision or what you'd like for fathers and Black fathers specifically?
Oh, there's so much. But in short, understand your value. Understand your voice matters. Understand your voice counts. Understand your presence is needed. And when you're not there, it's felt, right? When you're not there, we feel the lack of we feel your absence, I should say. And know that in doing this, you're changing not only, you're not doing something just for yourself. You're changing generations that we have not even seen yet, right? We're making impact now for the future. And so that's one of the things I like to show every father in every group and every one-on-one conversation, because we need that affirmation. We need that affirmation.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. That's beautiful and so true. Again, thank you for your time. Everyone can find Reg at getatmedad@gmail.com. Please do connect with him and reach out and find out about the good work he's doing. And thank you, Reg, for making a difference.
I appreciate it, Kat. Thank you so much for having me again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
You can find Reg on Instagram at getatmedad, and that is also the name of his podcast that you can find wherever podcasts are played. And please do share this episode as far and as wide as possible. We really need to be having these conversations, listening to them, thinking about what's being said, and how we can continue the conversation, how we can spread more truth and information and understanding about fathers, fatherhood, and fathers in BIPOC communities. Thank you so much for being with us. Until next time.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Please share this podcast. Together we can support moms and families so that no one has to deal with this alone. Come connect with us at momandmind.com.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.